Everything that we do in Christ is very important because it is Christ doing it through us. Whether it's obedience and raising your children, doing your work unto Him, whatever God has ordained, it is important if you trust Him and obey Him because He is doing it through you. It is not insignificant.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, as we continue our break from our study in Colossians, your message today reveals some important truth about the burial of Jesus.
You know, Dave, first of all, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and His resulting physical death is what paid the just penalty for your sins and for my sins and for all those who will simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, the physical bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead demonstrated that He was who He said He was, truly God in human flesh, and that He indeed had the power to raise from the dead. So then, as we head into Easter Sunday, today we're going to look at the account of the burial of King Jesus in the Gospels, and it's important to remember that this was given to us for a reason. The Lord wanted us to know about His burial because He wanted us to know something that is vital to our faith. So then, turn with us in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27, and we're going to be looking at verses 55 through 66.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
But there were many women who were looking on. And here we see that these women are described. They were looking on from a distance. They were looking and watching the events of the crucifixion in context. They were looking on. And these women are described, middle of verse 55, they had followed Jesus from Galilee. They were followers. They were disciples. They had left their lives and followed Jesus Christ. And in the end of 55, they were those who were ministering to Him or serving Him. These women had followed Jesus from Galilee. They were disciples. They served Jesus. And they were looking at the crucifixion from a distance. And now at this point, Matthew names three of them. And we're going to see it's important that he names these women. Notice, first of all, he names Mary Magdalene. And the term Magdalene means Magdala. It's Mary of Magdala. That was a city on the Sea of Galilee near Tiberias. And if you were to look at Luke chapter 8, we see that Mary was called Magdalene, and she had seven demons cast out of her. The Lord Jesus Christ healed her, spiritually speaking, from her possession, but also brought her to a relationship with Him. She was a follower and a servant of Christ. Now, this passage reveals there were other women within this group that are named ministering to Him. And it also mentions Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. And in Mark 15, we have the fact that this is the mother of James the less. Now, there were two apostles named James. There was Peter, James, and John, the two brothers, James and John. They were in the inner circle. And there was another James, and they called him James the less because he was not in that inner circle. And that is the mother of this disciple, the mother of James and Joseph. And then we have a statement in the end of 56, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. That would be the sons of thunder, as Jesus would say. That would be James and John specifically. And she's identified in Mark chapter 15 as Salome. That's her name. So why do you have Matthew, inspired by the Spirit, mentioning the names of these women? Why does he do this? Take a look a little farther down in our passage to verse 59. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the entrance of the tomb and went away. Verse 61, and Mary Magdalene was there and the other Mary sitting opposite the grave. We have Mary Magdalene and the other Mary mentioned again. This is at the grave. Now take a look at Matthew 28, which we'll look at next week, Lord willing. Verse 1, now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, we have the same two women mentioned for the third time, came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord had descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his garment was white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. And the angel answered and said, who did he speak to? To the women. Do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. These are faithful followers of Jesus Christ. These women are not ashamed. They are not hiding. And they are witnesses to the crucifixion. They are witnesses to the burial. They are witnesses to his resurrection from the dead. So I believe we have the two Marys plus Salome mentioned first. Then we have the same two Marys mentioned as witnesses of the grave. And then the same two Marys as witnesses of his resurrection. So I think Matthew, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is simply laying forth the reality that these women were consistent eyewitnesses to the realities of what had happened to Jesus Christ, having died, been buried, and rose from the dead. Now, I want to make an interesting observation, and I've shared it already, but besides Judas, who hung himself, none of the other apostles were at the cross except for John, the disciple that Jesus loved. Only John was there. The other ones, they were in a cowardly fashion, had run away, as Jesus had predicted. But these women had not deserted Jesus Christ. They were looking on from a distance. They went to the grave looking for him. Folks, God chose these women to bear witness of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What a privilege. They had been followers of Jesus Christ. They did not turn away, but became witnesses to the glorious truths of what Christ did in dying, being buried, and being risen from the dead. So first of all, the testimony of these women that observed the death, we see. Now he moves into the testimony of Joseph of Arimathea, verse 57, back in Matthew 27. And when it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself also had become a disciple of Jesus. Notice he says, also become a disciple of Jesus, implying that the women were disciples. Yes, they were. And he says, this man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given over to him, and Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a large stone against the entrance of the tomb and went away. Matthew is very precise here, and it's very important that we see his preciseness inspired by the Spirit. He says in verse 57, and when it was evening. Now, evening for the Jews is not evening like we think. Evening was from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. It was that point right before the next Jewish day, which would begin at 6 p.m. So their evening was right before the next day. We see here it was the ninth hour that Jesus had died, back in verse 46. That would be 3 p.m. Jesus died in the beginning of that evening period. So as we will see, there would be 3 hours in which Jesus would need to go into the grave to have been in the grave for 3 days, as he has said he would, and rise on the third day. So Matthew gives us a very important time clue to the veracity and truthfulness of the predictions of Christ, which would come absolutely true concerning when he would rise from the dead. Verse 57, and when it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it over to be given to him. Here we have Joseph of Arimathea going to Pilate, the Roman governor, the one who's in charge of all Judea, asking for the body of Jesus. That is a pretty bold thing to do, knowing the atmosphere of the religious leaders, which in a second we will see he was one of them who had not consented. Well, what do we know about this man, Joseph, who was from Arimathea? What do we know about him? First of all, our text makes it clear there came a rich man. First and foremost, Matthew says, there came a rich man. Now notice, and we'll see the importance of that in a minute. Notice what Mark also shares. Turn to Mark chapter 15, verse 43. And again, we have lengthy accounts in every gospel concerning these events. It's very important. And we know that all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate equipped for every good work. God puts it in here for a reason. Mark chapter 15, verse 43. Joseph of Arimathea came, a prominent member of the council. That's the Jewish Supreme Court. That's the Sanhedrin. That's the same body that had condemned Jesus, who himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. He was a God-fearer, waiting for God to institute his kingdom according to the prophecies in Scripture. And he gathered up the courage and went before Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. You would need to gather a lot of courage to do that in light of what had just happened. The body of the Sanhedrin had condemned Jesus to death. He would most certainly lose his position in that sense. He would put himself in a position himself to be aligned with the one who had been crucified. And he gathered up the courage to go before Pilate and ask for the body of Jesus. And Pilate wondered if he was dead by that time. You see, it took a long time for people to die. Now, the Jews were rushing it. They had the Sabbath the next day, which would officially start at 6 p.m. They needed to get the bodies off of the crosses, so they would, as we'll see in the other passages, would ask Pilate to break the legs so that they would die, so they could get the bodies off the crosses. And here we see Joseph asked Pilate, and then Pilate wondered, verse 44, if he was dead by that time. And summoning the centurion, he questioned him to whether he was already dead. And ascertaining this from the centurion, this meaning that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. We see that he was a prominent member of the council, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. We'll also see in Luke, he was a good and righteous man. Turn to Luke chapter 23. We see an account in Luke's gospel also of this very same event. Now I'm going to go back a little bit so we can see the context going into the situation with Joseph of Arimathea and Jesus in his body from the cross. Luke chapter 23, verse 48. And all the multitudes who came together for this spectacle, when they had observed what happened, began to return, beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who accompanied him from Galilee were standing at a distance, seeing these things. We read that in our passage, didn't we? And behold, a man named Joseph, who was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, he had not consented to their plan and action. That was to crucify Jesus. He did not consent to it. A man from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who was waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid it in a tomb cut into the rock where no one had ever lain. And it was the preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. You see, the Sabbath would begin at 6 p.m. And Joseph, a good and righteous man who had not consented, gathered the courage to ask for Jesus' body, and he went and took it down from the cross. And we'll see he had some help. Turn to John chapter 19. John reveals that Joseph, as we'll see, was a secret disciple because he feared the Jews, but he became an open disciple at this point when he went to Pilate. John chapter 19, verse 30. Let's go back a little bit to see the context flowing into this portion of Scripture. When Jesus therefore had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The Jews, therefore, because it was the day of preparation, that's the day before the Sabbath, so that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day. This was a high Sabbath during Passover, by the way. Asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. The soldiers, therefore, came and broke the legs of the first man and of the other man who was crucified with him. But coming to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately there came out blood and water. That just proves he's dead, by the way. And he who has seen has borne witness, and his witness is true. This is John speaking of himself. And he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may also believe. For these things came to pass, that the scripture might be fulfilled, "Not a bone of him shall be broken." And another scripture says, "They shall look on him whom they pierced." And if you look at verse 38, and after these things, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but a secret one for the fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate granted permission. He came, therefore, and took away his body, and Nicodemus, that's the teacher of the Jews. He is the head teacher of the Jews. He is the one that Jesus spoke to in John chapter 3 about being born again. Nicodemus came also, who had first come to him by night, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight. And so they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen wrappings with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. Therefore, on account of the Jewish day of preparation, because the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. And we know from the other passages that Joseph owned this tomb. It was his new tomb that no one had lain in. So we have this good and righteous man, a wealthy man, a prominent man of the council who did not consent to their wicked actions to crucify Jesus, gathering enough courage to go before Pilate, which would certainly out him as a disciple of Jesus. We have him going, requesting permission, then taking down the body of Jesus with Nicodemus's help, preparing it, and as we saw, going and putting it in the tomb. Now back to our passage. Verse 57, Matthew 27. And when it was evening, that's 3 to 6 p.m., there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. That's one who places himself under someone to learn. The term disciple means to place yourself under their authority to learn from them. If you are a disciple of Jesus, you place yourself under the Lord as a disciple to learn and obey him. He had become a disciple of Jesus. This man, verse 58, went to Pilate, asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. He rolled a large stone against the entrance of the tomb and went away. Now, there's a couple things I want to mention that are very important. First of all, this is continuing to be a testimony of the reality that Jesus died, that he was put in the tomb. But we also see that it was in fulfillment of Scripture. Isaiah 53, verse 9, I'll read it for you. It's speaking of Jesus 700 years earlier. His grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death. Matthew makes it really clear. The first thing he says about Joseph of Arimathea is a certain rich man. Folks, God's word is sure. He does what he says. Now, not only were the actions of this good and righteous man fulfilling prophecy, but also we see that having Jesus go into the grave would fulfill the truth of what Jesus had said. As I mentioned earlier, Jesus needed to go into the grave during this last 3 hours after he had died on the cross. Otherwise, his statements that he would rise on the third day would not be true. Do you remember multiple times Jesus predicted that he would be crucified and rise on the third day? Matthew 16, 21, Matthew 20, 19. Do you remember what he had shared back in Matthew chapter 12? Let's turn there. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. As he was reproving the scribes and Pharisees for their desire for signs rather than forgiveness of sins. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, Teacher, we want to see some sign from you. That sounds like churches these days, right? But what does Jesus say? But he answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, yet no sign shall be given to it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the sea monster, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And that was a Jewish idiom, 3 days and nights. It could mean any part of that day. It was a Jewish idiom. And Jesus had predicted that he would be in the grave for 3 days. And by Joseph of Arimathea's actions, he fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah and also the statements. He was partially in fulfillment of those that Jesus would have to be raised on the third day. Again, it's absolutely crucial that Jesus would be taken off the cross and put in the grave before 6 p.m. So God sovereignly intervened according to his plan through normal means through having a follower of Jesus Christ who was a fearful follower gather enough courage to ask for the body of Jesus and to put it in his tomb. God will accomplish his will. He is sovereign over the circumstances. He is causing all things to work together for good, large and small, for those who love him. Do you think your actions in following Christ are insignificant at times? Everything that we do in Christ is very important because it is Christ doing it through us. Whether it's obedience in raising your children, doing your work unto him, whatever God has ordained, it is important if you trust him and obey him because he is doing it through you. It is not insignificant. And Joseph's actions as a follower of Christ were very significant in fulfilling the truth of what Jesus had said would happen. So in our passage, we have the affirming reality that Jesus Christ was put in the grave now through the account of Joseph of Arimathea, who actually did it. And notice again, back in our passage, verse 61, we have the same women here, two of them, another account of their witness of what happened. Verse 61, Matthew 27. And Mary Magdalene was there. Well, where's there? At the tomb. And the other Mary sitting opposite what? The grave. The grave. The implication is that these two Marys, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of the disciple James the Lesser, were not only witnesses to his death, but also to him being laid into the tomb, which was closed. This is really important. These women were followers of Jesus Christ, and they went to see where he was. They followed him from the cross to the tomb, and they were there the next day. They were there the day when he rose from the dead. So we have the witness of the women. We have the witness of Joseph of Arimathea. And now we have the witness of his enemies. Look at verse 62. Now on the next day, that would be the Sabbath day, the high Sabbath, which is the one after preparation. That's the high Sabbath. This would be Saturday. Starting at 6 p.m., that's when that day would start. On Friday night of our Friday night, that's when the day would start. It would go from that 6 p.m. to the 6 p.m. the next day of Saturday. He says, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together with Pilate. Those are the religious leaders, the ones who had delivered up Jesus to be crucified. The ones who had manipulated the crowd to choose Barabbas over Jesus, but ultimately choosing Jesus to be crucified. These same religious leaders gathered together with Pilate the next day. They were very busy, weren't they? Very busy in their evil. And notice what they did. They gathered with Pilate, the governor of Judea, and notice what they did. Verse 63, and said, Sir, we remember that when he was alive, that deceiver said, After 3 days, I'm to rise again.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in our time here in the studio, talk to us about how we are to apply this message.
Dave, what we saw today was that people were willing to go public with their faith no matter what the cost. Joseph of Arimathea was a wealthy man and probably very well respected among the Jewish leaders. He had a lot on a physical plane to lose by demonstrating his outward allegiance to Jesus Christ. Now, we don't know much more about him or what happened to him after the events recorded in Scripture, but what we do know is that Scripture declared that he was a good and righteous man, Luke 23, and now his faith was certainly public. So, friends, the takeaway for us is this. When push comes to shove, if you know Christ and thus because of him are good and righteous, you will be confronted with opportunities to show your devotion or proclaim your faith. So then, what will you do? Will you shrink back in fear? Or as the Lord leads, will you graciously declare Christ?
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.